The first part of that little exercise is from an order member called Visantra. Visantra's a great guy, and he's just come back from a 3-year retreat, which he was doing in France. And he's very fond of that little exercise. And one of the things he talks about is trying to be wary of having projects all the time that shore up your sense of yourself. Even good projects. Even Buddhist projects. We're looking all the time to shore up our sense of ourselves. Our whole being is bent upon it, like Sauron upon the One Ring. I didn't actually write that, that just came. Look at that. And the Sanctuary is very good. Just that image, just that little exercise. He suggests that you do it several times a day. You're sitting at your desk. Close your eyes for a minute. Stop. There's the bundle of wheat, the bundle of grass. Let the whole thing fall. Breathe. Get on with your day. He says try and give 10% of your energy and your awareness to that kind of sense of things as you're doing everything else. Whenever you notice you've lost track of it, come back to it. Subtly, 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 it works on you. Drop by drop by drop. So I think this stuff is actually quite mundane in a way, but it's quite profound. It's like a shot at radical transformation. You don't have to sell a product. The product is not radical transformation. It's just a process. And you've got a real shot at it. And that is natural magic. It's the opportunity that you can take to decide to intervene in your own process in that kind of way and to effect change in the world in that kind of way. A man into a woman. A girl into a river, a boy into a star, in Ovid's terms. Those kind of magical transformations. You get a feel for that. You get a feel for why that literature works. It works on the heart when you read it because you recognise something. The longing. Going back to bodhicitta earlier on, the longing of the bodhisattva. That all beings will attain what is possible for all beings to attain. Transformation has to follow, and it's bound up with this kind of magical art that I've been talking about. There's one thing you have to be careful of, and maybe this goes back to the Mahayana's warning to the Hinayana. When you're doing this work at your desk, as you, as a project that you've taken on, when you're sitting in your meditation, and all those other people are annoying you by doing what they're doing in their meditation, or not, you have to be careful that you don't decide, oh, all I need to do is be mindful and look and observe in some sort of analytical way. And I will be doing the observing. And I will be observing the thing that's to be observed. You've already strayed from the path, my friend, so that's what's happening. You have to be careful about that. So going back to Edgar Wynne's thing, you insert magical acts into nature and you release a force that's greater than your own, I don't think you're just releasing a kind of dry mindfulness or a dry analytical observation. There's another component to it. We act on our own mind. We look at the universe. We look and we observe and we come to know it more deeply. And then, as we saw in the meditation this evening, something else arises. And I think what arises is kindness. It's impossible to look and see properly if you're not absolutely rooted and anchored in a sense of kindness and a sense of empathy. Because actually what you're trying to look and see is that there is no distinct me as opposed to you in a way that's ultimately meaningful. It's useful to get yourself through the day. You know, you're going to go home to your house tonight and you're going to get into your bed. I'm going to do the same. And that's provisionally useful on a psychological everyday level, completely fine. But what you're trying to see is that that is not ultimately meaningful. So kindness comes in when you do that, and it comes in as a full part of the bargain. It's not optional. It's not optional. And stock doctrines that you might learn as a Buddhist then turn into something different. They flower as enchantments in your heart. They're protective dharanis, that's what they become. Magic spells that unbind you. the way the sheaf of wheat is unbound. Nirvana is quite often compared to an unbinding of yourself. Very beautiful image. It wakes us up. Kindness, that kind of love and deep empathy, wakes us up in ways that we've long imagined. Cease to do harm, learn to do good, purify the heart. That becomes a mantra. That becomes a magic spell of protection. And it's very, very good to try and carry that through your days. As you try to align yourself with the nature of reality in this way, nature and reality, not as two distinct things. You're taking part in meditation as natural magic, and you're tapping in beyond words to something that's the most beautiful, deep thing that you can. And it's the simplest thing. The Buddha just sits down under a tree, and he remembers what it was to sit down under a tree as a little boy. He has this experience of remembering, oh, once I sat down under a tree and all I did was breathe. And he remembers that, and he sits down under a tree and he sits there and breathes and looks into his experience. And when he looks and when he sees, he's just looking and he's just seeing, but then something else emerges and there's this incredible blossoming. Again, we did those readings last week of the Buddha and his vision of lotuses. He looks out over the whole world and he sees human beings as lotus blossoms. And some of the lotus blossoms are stuck in the mud and some of them are managing just to emerge and push up through the mud. And some of them are rising up through the water and some of them have broken the surface and they're flowering into the sun. And he thinks, yep, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pass this on to other people. And that's the kind of magical blossoming. It's transformative empathy, you could say. Metta, that we were looking at earlier this evening. Metta as transformative empathy. And the word for compassion, quite often the Buddhist tradition talks about wisdom and compassion as the two wings of the insight experience. The word for compassion is anukampa. And anukampa means something like shaking with, vibrating with, resonating or trembling with. Very beautiful word. The Buddha resonates with the whole of reality when he sees what things are like. And he trembles with you, fully and deeply empathetically trembles with you. And his vision is completed by love at that point. And it's the most natural thing. And it's the most natural thing because it's possible for any human being.